somehow made it to episode 3. Say hi, Danny.
Hello. Here we are.
Say hi, Kate.
Hello. We made it. Somehow.
Somehow. Noah is not here today because he's too cool for us.
No.
Too cool.
I know. He's just a cool dude, isn't he?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. We're going to talk to Bianca Oblivion shortly, but first some housekeeping. Elephant in the room, we didn't announce the winner of the $200 studio credit from episode 1. Sorry, not sorry. Sometimes things don't go to plan. However, we do now have a winner. I'll tell you who that is right now.
Who do we mean?
Who won?
Vance.
Hey.
Go Vance.
Located in New York City, I think, wins the credit. He has asked to remain anonymous and is donating the credit to charity.
Wow.
Wow.
I know. I mentioned
so
his
generous.
Name.
That's really
you
nice. Got,
you guys weren't expecting that, were you?
Was not.
So do we have to redo this?
Nope. We do not.
Okay.
You're going to beep.
Not anonymous. Not anonymous.
In an interesting twist of fate, Vance is now, in fact, editing future podcast episodes for us in exchange for charitable donations.
There we go.
So he can blank out his full name in the edit. So enjoy that one, Vance, and also enjoy that one, listeners. Vance recognized our struggle to squeeze both an artist and industry pro into the same episode and suggested that we get an artist and their manager in for a future podcast at the same time. We love this idea and are already looking into it for future podcasts. And who knows, maybe episode 4 will be the one. Hint, hint.
Hey.
A special shout out to the Daniel Music Foundation. We're really inspired by their dedication to fostering inclusivity and unity through music, which absolutely aligns with our own commitments. Here's to making a world where everyone's talents shine bright.
Aw,
sweet.
Cute, isn't it? Special mention to xflu100@gmail.com for suggesting that we ask an artist about making connections and networking with people at the beginning of their career and then how to go about keeping those doors open. I need to frantically update my questions for Bianca. So yeah. We need a bit of time before we talk to her.
That's a good suggestion. I like that one
a lot. It's good. Yeah. Thanks to my mum. Who suggested that we run a competition to name the podcast. But unfortunately, that's both a terrible idea, and she didn't actually email me.
Wow.
So it's disqualified.
Wow.
Sorry, Mum. Love you. Still.
Text submissions are not welcome here.
WhatsApp.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry, WhatsApp submissions.
Even
okay.
Worse. Yeah. Mm. One thing I did want to address as a team was some interesting feedback from Edwin Verona. Forgot to get a response from them, or whether I can actually mention their name. But we can always blank that one out too, just in case.
Yeah.
They say, I'm not going to put a voice on because I have no idea who they are or what they talk like. Inviting guests that are so close to hosts might give your listeners the impression that they would need to be close to a host themselves in order to get spotlighted. I thought it would be a good one to discuss. I'm happy to kick off. Obviously, Disco, I know very well, and Danny knows very well, but those two things are kind of weren't really related.
Yeah.
I was, you know, quasi managing Disco for a little while with a friend, and obviously Danny grew up with her. I don't think it's necessarily true. I mean, what I will say is that you need to have these connections to get people into the podcast. Like, we're not paying them, so it will be probably more people that we do know than we don't. But yeah, I kind of appreciate it. I appreciated that feedback and thought maybe there was a way that we could find to bring artists, managers, et cetera, who we don't necessarily know into the pod. And to be honest, I think podcast 4 will be a little bit more like that.
I was going to say, like, I feel like once we grow a little bit, once the name is out there or the fact that we're doing a podcast, it can feel a little less daunting for us to reach out to artists we might not know. Or, you know, it was kind of to get, I think, the ball rolling. But I think that it's good to note that we won't always, like, eventually we'll want to reach out to people that we haven't met yet.
Mm-hmm.
And like, this will be our first meeting and conversation.
Yeah, I think this podcast has no like real legs on its own for the time being. And being very conscious of the fact that artists do get a lot of opportunities that are for
exposure.
Nice.
You know, how tired is every single artist out there? Like, cool, I can do that by myself on social media.
Cool.
Just want to respect people's time, I think, is really important. But
yeah,
you know,
absolutely. I think the last thing for me is I genuinely believe that Disco Shrine has a very interesting story and that people would learn a lot from that. So that's kind of was the primary reason for bringing her on the show.
Sweet.
That was that, really. Shall we get Bianca in for her interview?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right. Born and raised in the City of Angels, this globe-trotting, genre-hopping, hard-hustling artist was recently named by Mixmag as one of 2023's breakthrough DJs of the year and is also part of Beatport's next class of 2024. Not content with just DJing, she set up and runs Warp Mode, a regular party on the LA music scene alongside her bass buddies Star Eyes and AK Sports. Even further, she heads up Club Aerobics, a label and monthly radio show that's been airing on NTS Radio since 2017. Last but not least, she even produces her own music with bangers such as Sin Ice and Selecta, having been rinsed on both sides of the Atlantic, and her song Easy For Me even landed in EA Sports FC 24. That's FIFA 2024 for the less hardcore fans of the game. Welcome to the podcast, DJ, producer, promoter, Bianca Oblivion.
Yo.
Yeah.
Hello.
How we doing?
I'm great.
Nice.
Good. Good to have you here.
Yeah, I'm happy to be home.
Nice.
I've been on many travels, and so this is my downtime.
You have been all over, and we'll get onto that. but first, we obviously still have Kate and Danny in the room.
Yes.
We're here.
We're actually doing a little party, I guess, tonight in Silver Lake with the Pirate team. We've got Goldie and Miles in town who are on the CX team. But we all met at a party when? When would it have been?
2 years ago?
Maybe. It was in August.
That was two years ago. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Bori was in town. That's our CEO, and Izzy and a few others. Danny wasn't there, which so it was way better.
I wasn't there.
But yeah.
Before your time.
Bianca kindly invited us to come and see her play at Catch One.
Yes.
It was a boiler room set.
It was not filmed, but it was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
It was crazy. I mean, I don't know where, from the stage, but from the audience, exploring all the different levels, can confirm, crazy.
I kind of like that it wasn't filmed. It feels a little more like you were in the moment. You don't have to rely on like looking back at it, or I don't know. That's interesting. I like that.
Yeah, it was awesome. We got very drunk and Bianca crushed it. And I think one of the living memories of that night for me was my friend Veronica. I lost her in the crowd and then just turned around. She was on top of one of the speakers. Yeah.
No.
She was like go-go dancing on top of
it. Yeah.
No.
She's crazy.
Wait, I missed that.
Oh yeah.
I had to leave early because I had an early morning shift, but I did get like separated from the whole group, and the thing about that whole like setup, you can't go backwards in the rooms. You have to keep going forward into like, so you have to go all throughout the rooms if you want to go back to a room you were in. And I somehow found you guys again at one point and then lost you immediately.
Yeah,
like, all right, it's just gonna, this is the way.
Just happens. Yeah.
This is the way.
Yeah, shout out to Catch One, who we're hopefully, I think we are partnering up
with. Yeah, we are.
Residency 2024, so.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, okay. I feel like my mic, I'm like slipping down, but tell me if you.
You sound good.
Okay, that's good. Gonna get on with some questions now, Bianca.
Sounds good.
So. Tell us how you got here. How did you know you wanted to be a DJ, producer, and music industry pro?
So I think all of those things are connected and separate. You know, there's been stages of my life where I have been all of those things, none of those things, one of those things. So I would say, starting off, I was really just a music lover ever since, you know, I was a kid. I was really into dance. I took classes, and I've just was always listening to all kinds of music from my parents, from MTV, from everywhere, radio. I was just really into music. And that continued when I was, you know, growing up in middle and high school. I would go see bands all the time, was just constantly consuming music, going to see shows, going to buy CDs, hanging out with friends, connecting on music. And then I continued on to university, and I was on college radio. So I got really into, you know, music in that way. And, you know, going on radio and selecting songs and doing the whole presenter thing was really fun. And then from there, I slowly transitioned into club DJing. And then that was it. It was just kind of that would kick things off. And I've been DJing for almost 2 decades now, which is kind of crazy.
Wow.
And so that's kind of been the DJ journey. But, you know, at the same time, just music lover, selector, whatever, however you want to say it. The production came later, around 2016 is when I really first started dabbling in production, mostly in edits and remixes. And I did that for a few years until I dove into, like, you know, really dove into production around right before the pandemic, actually, into original production. And then kind of during lockdown is when it was a bit of a blessing because I had the time to devote to that. You know, I wasn't playing any gigs or doing much else. So I was really kind of focused on that. And I guess, yeah. And so I just continued with the production and I'm still doing that now. And that's kind of become my full-time thing in production and DJing. And I would say the industry pro, it's not something you really can, I never really placed it. Like I'm, you know, this part of this music industry, like world, it just happens by default because you're in it for so long and you meet all these people and you're doing so many things and you're throwing parties. You kind of just become this fixture, at least wherever. I mean, in LA, I've been here for so long as my home base, even though I'm traveling a lot now, and you just get to know all these people and you're doing events and you're connecting on so many levels and, you know, having to navigate with agents and managers and everyone and other promoters. So it's just, you know, kind of by default that you are then engulfed in the music industry world. And so, and then you're making connections, you know, for your own brand, for other brands and kind of working the biz, however you see, however it works for you. So yeah, that's kind of, I guess, a condensed version of, of everything.
Love it. No, thank you for that. You mentioned something there. Would it throw you off at all if I was to jump a couple of questions?
Go ahead.
Of course not. Professional. Yeah, you mentioned the connections. I was wondering if you could give me this, well, basically the question is, can you tell us how you cultivate connections in the early stages of your career and how you've kept those doors open throughout?
Honestly, I think I've always been a very, I've always approached things very professionally, even, you know, when I was younger. I was very academic from a young age. I was always very much into school and I went through and I did a lot of years of college. I went to grad school twice. So aside from DJing, that was kind of my thing. I was really into academia. And that's honestly why I didn't go professional in music for so long. Like it was always a passion of mine, but I didn't go fully into it because I had all these other pursuits, like, you know, career pursuits, academic pursuits. And I think just being kind of brought up on that side of, you know, of the world or like this academic sphere, I use those same tools to apply to everything that I was doing creatively. And I think that has really helped kind of professionalize sort of what I was doing. And where a lot of people I've seen kind of fall apart in dealing with people in business and in emails, it's really difficult for some people. And obviously they could be brilliant creatively, but then really struggle on that end. And, you know, a lot of people get help with that. Obviously, managers can help with that and agents and so forth. But I think for me, I was able to do those things a lot on my own. I mean, I'm very DIY in general, but I think because I have had those skills, I was able to sort of like organize tours for myself and promote my music and
that's
make
huge,
and make one sheets and just kind of go about it in a very professional way. And I guess this diverts from the question a bit, but I think using that kind of having that energy is a good way to approach relationships with people. And even if it's in friendships, it can, you know, friendships can turn into business relationships and business relationships can turn into friendships. You know, it's kind of this two-way flow. And I think just kind of treating everyone respectfully and just really moving in a really genuine way and being, you know, open and honest with people and just, you know, just being authentic and professional, I think that really is essential for cultivating any kind of relationship in any industry, but of course in music as well. And I think for me, that seems to have worked really well in, you know, opening doors for me.
Yeah. And it seems like it's working really well right now.
Yes.
Because it does feel to me like you're kind of blowing up. A, would you agree with that? And B, do you attribute that to anything other than what you just talked about? Or
Well, it's kind of funny to say that, to think of myself as blowing up because I've been doing this for so long, you would expect like, okay, well, she's been doing it for another 2 decades. Well, like this seems to be the time where it should happen.
Yeah.
But I think, no, I mean, I do think that this has accelerated a bit since, you know, the last few years, like everything that I've been doing has been fueling it, you know? So it's like, for instance, I think you could kind of market since after lockdown, when things started opening up, you know, different opportunities started coming my way. So, you know, Warp Mode, my crew and I organized Keep Hush right around the time lockdown opened. So we had that happened. And then obviously the Warp Mode parties themselves kind of were its own thing. But, you know, for me, myself, I had, you know, several singles and collaborations that did, you know, pretty well, that got some attention. And I continued to tour from, you know, in Europe and in the States, in Europe. I had more like kind of official tours out here. I was just kind of bouncing around different, you know, gigs every so often. But I think, you know, last year, almost a year ago, well, a year ago this month, our Warp Mode Boiler Room aired. So our actual recorded Boiler Room, not the ones that was, nice. Yeah, just the wild party.
Where was the invite to that one?
Well, you had an invite.
Oh.
There's also an option to watch it. Okay, so fine, that's fine. The
true.
Thing. You can watch
you
it. It's recorded.
Cool.
Yeah. So I do think that, you know, when you have the Boiler Room, that's something that is like a big goal for people and sort of this like marker of success in a lot of ways. So I think that, you know, was a big moment. And my single Sinice kind of blew up with it's a collab with Angel, another friend of mine in LA, and yeah, that kind of went all over the place. Like we released it last April, so again almost a year ago, and since then we've released remixes and a vocal version, and we only intended it to kind of come out as a single on Nafi, and it because of the momentum, we just thought, okay, maybe we should kind of put more into it because people really loved it. And so that was really exciting. And I had another collab with Sam Binga, Sweatbox Party, and we did remixes for that. And so that was another thing. And I think all of these things together, like, you know, single, I could say not one thing was kind of a catalyst. I think all of these things together was kind of like creating this momentum. And I just think, you know, getting kind of bigger plays here and there. Some, you know, I did my first festivals in Europe last year, and I did Glastonbury last year. And so these wow. moments were really big for me. And then, you know, the year before that, there was moments as well. But I just think, just kind of like all of these kind of culminating in this like kind of mass is just like this energy that kind of like is pushing me. And I think at the end of last year, I had the Mix Mag Breakthrough DJs. And then in the last summer, I had the Bass Coast Festival in Canada, which got filmed. And just Bass Coast itself is an incredible festival. And I think that if you play that and you do really well and people like you, that opens up basically every single door in Canada, really, which is kind of crazy to think that this like one festival can do that, but it really is. There's a lot of promoters that go there, and if people that even don't go there hear about it, like I've been playing Canada nonstop since Bass Coast Festival.
Wow.
So and while I'm, you know, when I go to these cities, they're like, oh, I saw you at Bass Coast, or I wasn't at Bass Coast, but all my friends were there and said they loved you. Like it's that energy just kind of like reverberates, like it's just a crazy like thing that spreads. And it was really cool to see that. I was like, wow, this kind of has, you know, an impact that I wasn't even aware of. And so, I got asked back again this year, which doesn't happen for all artists. Like usually they space out when they ask artists to come, and they asked me back to the main stage this year. So that's really exciting. I'm excited to play that again.
Yeah.
Wow. Cool. I feel like the 2 decade, how you mentioned, that's like not necessarily random. I feel like a huge part of all those opportunities were like being prepared for those opportunities, like in full experience and like just the work you've put in. So
yeah, I
very
think,
cool.
No, I think you're right, because a lot of times you do see artists kind of go from like bedroom producer or bedroom DJ, and then like the next year they've shot up to in insane heights. Like they're doing all the festivals, all the gigs, and you know, maybe they got something viral or on TikTok. And that's kind of how things move these days. And I think sometimes it can be overwhelming, especially for younger artists.
Yeah.
But me personally, I'm seasoned, as you would say. And so I feel like I'm really prepared mentally and like emotionally and for whatever is to come in these ways. Like I've been preparing for a long time, and kind of the long game of things is actually not, it may not be as like gratifying in the short term, but like in the long term, you know where you've come from, you know who you are, you have a very strong foundation and sense of self. And I think that's incredibly important to have in the industry that can be very fickle and kind of pick you apart and just, you know, one day you're hot, the next day you're not, kind of thing. So if you stay true to what you do and who you are, then I think that's incredibly, like I said, it's so important, especially for longevity. And that's, you know, if people get really hot one year and then they kind of fall off completely, that can be really devastating.
Yeah.
So I'd prefer just to continue on what I'm doing. And again, I do see certain artists go crazy and do all of these things that I wish I could do. But, you know, again, I have to think, okay, my time will come. I'm just going to keep focusing on what I am doing now.
Yeah. That kind of makes me think about, like, you said you were an academic, you know, so you have a kind of a plan laid out, and over 2 decades, it does seem like, I imagine you have like a goal to play like, you know, the Boiler Room or whatever. So is that something that you started off with and it still plays today? Or like, is that a practice, I guess, from the beginning you still apply to your, like how you book, how you're still rising, there's room to grow. Like, what's that process for, I guess, someone who hasn't started their journey yet?
Honestly, yeah, I think small goals are the way to go. Like, you may not achieve all of them one year, but for instance, around the time I started playing abroad in Europe, I think it was around 2018, and I was like, okay, I had one offer to play, you know, in Spain, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna build a little tour around this. I'm gonna email all these people. I'm gonna find out where to go, and I would kind of set up different shows. And so it was like my goal to, you know, okay, I'm gonna keep playing overseas.
Yeah.
And so that, and then you know, another year, it was like, okay, I'm gonna make one original song. You know, and nice. And it's just, and it's like if you reach that goal, and you just keep reaching those one goals, or I want to play these parties, and then each year it's like, okay, I play this, or I want to play some festivals, and it's like, it's more of like, you know, putting your intentions out there. I'm not trying to get like all like, oh, you know, get your intentions and put into the universe.
I believe it. The energy you throw out, I believe that.
It is true. But I don't say my affirmations every day, but I think I do. I make my lists of like what I want to achieve, or I just have these goals. And I was like, I think a long time ago, I was like, I want to put music out on labels in Europe. Mm-hmm. And I want to focus my energy in Europe, because at the time, I think I was feeling a bit lost in the scene in the States, or especially in LA. I didn't feel like I had a place there with what I was doing at the time. And this was several years back. It's changed a lot, I would say. But, you know, what I was into and what I was doing wasn't quite fitting. And I wasn't getting, like, booked at the level that I wanted to. So I was like, okay, I'm going to put my energy elsewhere and see what happens.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I think that really paid off, because I don't think it was the right time for me to do what I'm doing in LA or in, you know, in the States. And I think it really did help that I kind of left and put my energy there and released on labels out there and made a name for myself out there. And then come around like this year, I'm getting offers for EDC and Harvest.
Nice.
Yeah. And different.
See?
And you know, yeah, so it's, yeah, like kind of coming around for full circle. It's like I'm coming in almost as an overseas artist, but I'm not, you know, I was born and raised here.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I think that's super smart, because LA is so saturated that it's just like you can, even if you have the talent, you can get overlooked. And it's just about timing as well. Like, that's so smart that just a little change, like, oh, an overseas, even though you were from here.
Yeah, no one thinks I'm an overseas artist. I'm just saying, mentally, it's like approaching it as someone that is. And I think, honestly, because if you are here so much, it is very easy to get overlooked, because it's like, oh, she's always there. She's not like someone that's, it's not like a novelty. It's like, you're always there. We don't really need to book you. It's like,
right.
Okay, fine. Then I'm going to go elsewhere.
Right. So
it's like, I'm not going to sit around and wait to get booked for this show or this festival or any of that. I'm going to go off and find different opportunities, connect with different people and see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, and I think this year, just by default, I'm not in LA in the weekends. So I'm touring elsewhere. So it's like, I'm barely here to play events anyway. So it's like, I wasn't trying to do that, but that's just kind of what's happened just by sort of the way things are moving right now.
Yeah. So when we do get you back in LA, it's going to be special.
Yeah.
I'm gotcha. Yeah.
Well, I will mention one thing for next week, but we can wait on that.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. I'm probably going to jump a couple of questions because I feel like, you know, one of these was like any advice for aspiring DJs and producers, but I feel like they can probably get a bunch of advice from what you've just been talking about.
Yeah, that was great.
That's super awesome.
So I actually, another one completely left field. Are you going to Glastonbury this year?
I am.
Okay. Good to know. Might see you there.
Yeah.
All right. Talk about that later.
Yeah. Last year's Glastonbury was insane. I was there for 12 hours at 9 p.m. to 9 a.m. and then had to rush to the airport to catch a flight for another show. So
wow.
Okay.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Doing the most.
Yeah.
It's a journey.
I'm keen to know if you have your eye on any up and coming artists currently.
Oh, I like that. Mm-hmm.
And if so, could you tell us a little bit about them and, you know, if possible, what you think sets them apart?
Yes. So there is an artist in, I believe, Colombia. I hope I get that right. But they're definitely in South America. I think Colombia. And they go by WOST, WOST. And they're making, really amazing kind of like house and techno and actually like hard drum with grime influences and Latin influences. Basically, all these really, really cool influences. And they're putting out some incredible edits and originals. And I even a new sample pack, which I bought. It was very good. So yeah, really excited about that artist. Another producer that I just hung out with actually in person, Gazia in Salt Lake City. And he's actually been around for a while with his duo X and G, but he's doing a lot of solo stuff right now. And I really love the music he's coming out with and playing it nonstop in my sets. So Gazia for sure. Another artist, Bastion Goat in the Bay Area. Really, really very, I would say, one of the best producers on the West Coast. And I think a lot of my peers would say the same. Like, we all love Bastion Goat. He has such a wide variety of music that he works in, like, bass, house, and just really cool experimental stuff. So love Bastion Goat. Yeah.
Great. Three artists.
Three artists.
Lucky us.
I'm checking all of them out.
Yeah.
Nice. I was about to start typing them and I'm like, I'll just listen back.
Yeah.
Can't type on the road.
I wouldn't really call her up and coming, but Bambi is a star. Yeah, she's amazing. Again, not up and coming. She's there. And she just got a Juno Award for best electronic album this year.
I love that record.
For her Infinity Club. So again, love Bambi, and I think her and I kind of are approaching things very similarly in our DJ styles and our production styles. Obviously, we have our own take on things, but we really, I think, have the same ethos in music and kind of like no boundaries, and taking influences up from our culture and just incorporating it into this wide spectrum of electronic music.
Great.
Also just works so hard. I feel like I recognize like that too, not to just like compliment, but I feel like I noticed that in both as well. Like it's like very persistent and like know what you want in like your career.
Yeah, I was just with her in Toronto and she's been locked away in her studio writing music for her new album. So very exciting. That's hopefully cool. You will see a collab with us at some point.
Yeah.
Very cool.
That is exciting. And we'll include links to all of the artists.
Oh, sweet.
In the show notes.
It's a great
idea. Show notes. Yeah, you're right. I don't know why I keep calling them the social coffee. That's just like a relic
it's very
from
British
my
of you.
In social media.
<I think. laughs>
Perhaps. Okay, next question. What next for Bianca Oblivion? What are you working on and where can we see you perform? I know you kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier, but come on, give us the goss.
Spill the tea.
So I have, I can't really reveal where these things are coming out, but I have an EP coming out at the end of the year.
What?
In the fall, sorry. On a UK label, UK label. So that's a really exciting one. It's a label I've been a fan of for years, and I have some amazing collaborators on that. So that's a big one for me. Before that, I have a single coming out with, I think I can say this now, but with Hard Records. And nice. Yeah, so that's going to be out sometime in the summer before Hard Fest, which I am also playing. And
oh sweet.
Yes. And I have a remix of some UK artists coming out soon, and a collab coming out with on a VA comp also in the fall, and another that's a Canadian label. And then I have another UK label compilations track coming out, and that's actually for me a different kind of vibe for me. It's gonna be a very techno track, so it'll be really cool to see how people react to a kind of different side of my production. And nice. Very excited about that.
Can't wait.
That's dope.
Yeah. Okay. This question we've asked once before, and people were hesitant to give us something that they hated about Pirate. But
such an insane question.
Tell us something you love and something you hate about Pirate.
Something you dislike.
Yeah, you can't just say Sammy for either actually. But go on, take it away.
You know, I don't necessarily hate it, but things that annoy me. I think I mentioned this. These little attachments to the headphones. They annoy me and my vocalists a bit, and. I think sometimes when people do weird configurations with the speakers or the inputs, and I always have to like figure out what's going on and get it all set up before I start. But you know, generally I haven't had, one more in the DJ studios. I think some of the speakers are completely blown out.
Yeah.
And so that's been a bit annoying when I'm trying to like practice or do a mix. I'm like, oh, that's, all right, I can't really hear that.
I mean, it's a matter of like getting those mixers, like limiters. If people know how to like change the limiter, like to higher, like they'll just, because they want to do what they do. Unfortunately,
it's like
we hate them.
It's not cool. So
not
service
cool.
Announcement to everyone: please do not blow out the speakers. Like, you know what you're doing. I hope maybe you
Truly.
Don't like. It can't sound good when you're blasting it that loud, just clipping every track.
But that is you on the weird configurations though, right?
No, I will set them back so that people don't blow out the speakers. And if someone knows how to change it, which, because you can, like it's not like a locked thing.
Yeah.
Then they can. And then, all hell breaks loose on the Pioneers.
Yeah, ruining it for the rest of us.
Yeah, not cool.
Killing my vibe in the booth.
Okay,
but now love. What do we love about
this? Thanks for leaving love
I like
last.
That you started with those, though.
Yeah.
I like that you started with the dislikes.
Yeah, I mean, I think those all make sense. It's nothing personal, Pirate. It's just this is actually blaming some of the users of Pirate. So there's that. But I think things I love about Pirate, obviously, the freedom to just go in whenever you want and just, you know, I this is me. I'm always like at a stop sign. I'm like, all right, I'm going to book my hours because you never know when if you're working with someone and they're like running late or whatever, it's like, I'm not going to book it until you're actually telling me when you're in your Uber or in your car on the way. So then I'm like, then I will book it because you're going to waste everyone's time.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just like that you can really just book on the fly, and it's completely changed the way the landscape of the LA music scene, I think, because now all these people have a space to practice who didn't have CDJs before. I remember when I started DJing, you know, I didn't have a setup. So the only time I got to practice was when I was at a friend's house who had a setup, or yeah. in the club when I was having a gig. And I was like, all right, yeah, here I go on the fly. I had to learn as I go, yeah. which is stressful. But, you know, I think this is a really important tool, an opportunity for people to have this resource. And yeah, again, it's like it's opening this up for people across generations. You know, people who aren't even old enough to be in the club are able to at least go and practice their music and play, which is incredible.
Yeah.
And same thing with production. Like, there was so many barriers for anyone, even, you know, producers, to be able to get access to studios and studio equipment. Yeah. And now you can have that anytime. And you don't have to book some crazy expensive studio. And at the end of the day, I've been in expensive studios before, and I've been in pirate studios before. And for me, it's honestly, even for production specifically, it doesn't make a difference. You have so many tools on your own laptop, yeah. just on your DAW. Yeah. So you don't need all these crazy mixing boards. You don't need these, like, you know, $100,000 speakers. You just need yeah. what you have on your laptop, your own resources and your creativity. And yeah. and I think that can take you so far. And yeah, maybe at some point you need to upgrade and go do something else somewhere. But I know, like, huge artists that will still book at Pirate, you know, when they're in town, like yeah. major producers. And that's another thing. It's like, you can have the person starting out to the person who's been doing this for 20 years, and they're both going to be booking time at Pirate. And I think that's a really beautiful thing.
That was so well said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Bianca.
Very proud to yeah. be a part of Pirate right now.
It does feel nice, doesn't it? It does feel nice.
But I'm definitely taking notes, and definitely yes. taking notes sure. on the dislikes.
I was like one of the first people to start at Pirate when it came to LA.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I had heard about it in New York and in my friends in the UK, and I was like, oh man, I wish we had that. And
was it Jubilee who got you?
Yeah,
yeah.
She did.
Nice.
Yeah, I remember. Awesome. So we're going to close out with, well, this is interesting because I think Bianca's going to introduce a couple of songs.
Sweet.
Once again, not going to listen to them here. But we don't know yet whether they're cleared for use.
They are cleared.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
nice. I just can't say what they are, but I can say.
Oh, wow.
They're
interesting.
Is.
So, yeah. okay. Right. Cool. All right. So, yeah, like, do you want to just give us an introduction? We won't play the song, and then give us another introduction. We won't play the song, yeah. and then we can close out.
Yeah.
Sweet. All right.
So, this track is a collab with two other artists, and it is going to be out in the late summer or fall on a Canadian label. It's a label and crew collective, and it'll be, yeah, it's gonna be on a compilation. So that's this track.
Great, so we can play it, but we just can't name it.
Yes.
All right.
Hey, that's noted. Cool. Kind of like
yeah, that one,
Vance.
That's the editor.
Yeah.
Yeah, you won't hear it anyway.
Sometimes some people will hear it, like, in the club or on the radio, and they're going to be like, I know this.
I heard this.
If they listen to this podcast.
Yeah,
first.
Exactly. Yeah. Exclusive.
Exclusive.
Compilation that is another compilation, yes, that is going to be released at the end of May, so much sooner. And it is, let's see if I can say who's putting it out. No, I'll keep it secret too. But anyway, it'll be May 31st. It's coming out. It's another VA compilation, and it's leaning into grime and techno sounds. So, yeah, it'll be a very interesting lineup of songs and artists. And I'm excited to be able to.
guess that all is left to say is thank you so much for coming in. You're right, like, you are Pirate OG. I remember those days, and I've been following as you continue to blow up and do awesome things, like, kind of proud. And Pirate is too. It's just awesome to see you doing so well, and it's great to see you again, and we're going to hang out on Thursday night too, so that's awesome.
Yes. Sweet. Thank you guys so much for having me. And again, one of a very fond memory I have last year of a Pirate thing was going to Boomtown and playing in the little teeny tiny Pirate room that they had on the
stage.
Yeah, that was really, really fun.
A home away from home, almost, when it's like, this is weird. It's like a whole, I don't know, it's weird.
You're in a field in a Pirate. Is that what you're trying to get?
Field and a Pirate.
It's like you've been in this room in LA, but you've also been in this field. Room? Weird.
Yeah, I'm so gutted that I missed that whole activation because I was in the US. But we won't end on that note.
Thank you.
I don't know when this is airing, but next week I am playing in LA at the Moroccan Lounge next Wednesday, April 10th, and it is with Sam Binga and Sister Zoe. It is a Pineapple Records showcase, and that is part of the Scenario 2024 conference, which I'm also speaking on and a panel on Thursday.
You do all the things. All the things.
Doing things.
After that, would the next thing be Hard Fest in LA? Or
yes.
Just as far as like schedules goes in summer. Okay, nice.
Yeah, the next LA play will be Hard Fest.
Nice.
Yeah, and I guess if you are going to EDC, I will also be at EDC on the Bionic Jungle stage.
Ooh.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, might fly in for a few hours again. That was an experience.
All right.
Yeah, thanks again.
Sweet.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you. We'll be right back.